Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're broadcasting today from Colorado Public Radio in Denver as part of our election road trip. And we're going to go back in time now to the moment what is probably Colorado's most famous poem was written. I'm talking about America the Beautiful. Yes, before it was a song, it was a poem written by Catherine Lee Bates in 1893. As Elisa Phelps, director of the Collections and Library Division at History Colorado Center, told us.
Catherine Lee Bates was actually a professor. She was from Massachusetts, and she spent a summer teaching English at Colorado College in Colorado Springs. And at the end of the summer semester, she and some professor colleagues took a trip up Pikes Peak in a prairie wagon, if you can imagine that. And when she got to the top, just looking around at the vast expanse and the wide open sky, it gave her the inspiration to write America the Beautiful.
And tell us what Colorado would have looked like at the time, back in the 1890s, when you say the vast expanse.
Well, Colorado Springs was a busy metropolis at that time, so there would have been buildings and structures. But from that high 14,000-foot vantage point, you're seeing well beyond the cities to the plains. And so you're getting this amazing panorama, as you still do today, that just gives you this awesome sense of the vast landscape.
This was just a poem. It wasn't a song at the beginning.
Right. It was a poem, and it wasn't actually set to music until the early 1900s, or at least not to the tune that we think of it as today. The tune that we know was written by a gentleman named Samuel Ward, and he actually passed away before the poem and the music were put together. That happened in 1910.
The words were not always the words that we hear today in the song, right?
She revised it a couple of times. One of the big changes is some of the language that was used was more academic in tone. And the change in 1904 is much closer to the version that we know today. She revised it one more time after that.
Do you think that there's something uniquely Colorado about that? Do you think it could have been written in Indiana or Idaho?
No offense to Indiana or Idaho, but no. You know, I think even today when folks drive to the top of Pikes Peak, you do get this kind of this feeling of beauty and wonder and the magnificence of the landscape, and resulted in this beautiful song.
Now, you've got the original America the Beautiful in front of you. Can you read it to us?
Sure. Oh, beautiful for halcyon skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the enameled plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till souls wax fair as earth and air and music-hearted sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till paths be wrought through wilds of thought by pilgrim foot and knee. Of beautiful for glory tale of liberating strife, when once or twice for man's avail men lavished precious life. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till selfish gain no longer stain the banner of the free. O beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till nobler men keep once again thy whiter jubilee.
Imagine that, trying to sing about our halcyon skies. But when you're here in Denver in the shadow of the Rockies, you can see why they're so inspirational. They're also a big part of the state's history and its identity today.
The number one thing that when I ask people around the state about what unifies Colorado is people will say the mountains. about 95% of Coloradans can see the mountains, even if they live in rural areas out on the plains.
Tom Cronin is a political scientist at Colorado College and co-author of the book Colorado Politics and Policy.
Well, there are two phrases that can explain Colorado. One is gold and silver, and the second is World War II. People came to Colorado to do mining of gold and silver, and that's what initially was the thrust to discover the state. And some of those mines were up in the mountains, but they brought the ores down, or the owners of those mines lived down in places like Colorado Springs. And the second wave was World War II. In 1940, for example, Colorado Springs was a community just of 40,000 people. Today, it's a county of 650,000 people. And we have 5 or 6 military installations in Colorado Springs. Colorado is a big defense spending state and big aerospace contracting.
That military vote has helped push the state in a more conservative direction over the years. Colorado has voted for a Republican president nearly twice as often as it has for a Democrat since 1876. George W. Bush won here, Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon did too, and so did Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was president when the Air Force Academy was first established in Colorado Springs.
In the mess hall, 1,000 fledgling airmen hear some words of advice from an old soldier, West Point, class of 15. In his turn, Ike receives an honorary diploma of the first graduating class of Colorado Springs.
Republican Warren G. Harding swept all 63 Colorado counties in 1920, the only candidate ever to do so. Democrat William Jennings Bryan was the first Democrat to take the state in a presidential election. Here he is in 1908.
It shall be my constant ambition and my controlling purpose to aid in realizing the high ideals of those whose wisdom and courage and sacrifices brought this republic into existence.
He won Colorado 3 times in 1896, 1900, and 1908, although never became president. In fact, Bryan's third nomination to the Democratic ticket was in Denver at the first major party nominating convention in a Western state. 100 years later, the DNC would return to Denver to nominate this candidate.
I accept your nomination for presidency of the United States.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt was another Democrat who won the state twice, and Bill Clinton won once in 1992. That was the same year that independent Ross Perot earned a surprising 23% of the vote in Colorado.
Now, you're from Colorado. People came out here in covered wagons. I'd much rather have the challenge that you and I have to fix this great country than to try to get from the East Coast to Colorado in a covered wagon. Any day.
You do have a pretty unusually high number of unaffiliated voters here, people who simply refuse to register for one party or the other. And some substantial chunk of those independent voters actually are independent. That is, they will actually switch between the parties, and they're somewhat up for grabs.
That's Seth Maskett with the University of Denver. He says you also can't talk about Colorado's political history without talking about one of its most tragic aspects, gun violence.
It's a hard issue to ignore. I mean, I think that's true in many places, but in particular Colorado, where there have been pretty high-profile shootings here, even for those who weren't there at the time that they happened, they affected the lives of people who they've grown up with, people who they know nearby. It's hard to not even address that issue here.
It's an issue that's brought Colorado into the national spotlight far too many times.
If you are just joining us, two young men apparently dressed in long black trench coats opened fire at a high school just outside of Denver in Littleton, Colorado.
This morning, a gunman appeared at the front of one of the theaters in the Century 16 Theater behind me here.
About an hour ago down in the Colorado Springs area, and we have gotten confirmed from Springs Police that there is an active shooter in this area.
But all that history, from America the Beautiful to the recent shootings, may not be top of mind for many Colorado voters today, because only 42% of them were born here. The rest have migrated from other states and other countries. Colorado is the second fastest growing state in the country, and we'll see in a couple weeks what that means for the election. But with all this change, one constant is the landscape that inspired Catherine Lee Bates so many years ago.
And crown thy good with brotherhood.